The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Do we concentrate too much of our economic development on Dublin? And the latest example being the expansion of Dublin Airport. Could this have been money that might have been better spent, for example, in Shannon or Cork to develop the regions? And if we are going to expand Dublin Airport, well then, do we need to have a train line running to it as well? These are the issues we're going to debate and discuss. I want to start, though, with Paula Kane, Chief Communications Officer for the DAA, which owns and operates Dublin Airport as a semi-state body. Paul, just explain a little bit of the expansion that is going on at present, because you had the sod turning ceremony last week for the construction of a new second runway at the airport.
That's correct, Matt. So what we're doing is we've had a second runway planned at the airport since the late 1960s. And we applied for planning permission then as far back as August 2007. And we put the project on hold due to the downturn, and we reactivated it back in 2016. And what we did last week was turn the sod on officially on the main construction for the runway. And the reason that we need this second runway is Dublin Airport is effectively full at certain times of the day on our main runway. The main runway here handles about 95% of the traffic, and we're effectively full in the key period, which is 6 to 7 in the morning. So we really need this new capacity in order to basically fulfil government policy, which is to expand the airport for the good of the Irish economy and also to continue to develop Dublin as a hub.
How much is it going to cost?
It's going to cost €320 million, and the good news from a taxpayer's perspective is none of that money is coming from the state. Yes, Dublin Airport is a semi-state company and DAA is a semi-state company, but we're not funded by the state in any way. So that €320 million that we'll be investing on North Runway will come from a combination of our own revenues and borrowings.
€300 million plus for a slab of concrete running a few kilometres, that seems like a lot of money.
Last time you landed on a runway, Matt, I'm sure you didn't look closely if you think it's just a slab of concrete. There's a couple of
I wouldn't expect any potholes in it anyway.
No, you wouldn't expect. Well, you'd like to think not. A couple of things there, Matt. Firstly, the construction element is only a portion of that $320 million. We're also investing in very large-scale mitigation measures for our local community. So that's things like a voluntary house buyout scheme for about 38 houses. We're also insulating homes in the local community. And as I say, it's not just a piece of road. There are very sophisticated safety and lighting and tech and systems that need to go into a runway, and there's an operational readiness and training system. So it's not like you could ring a few fellows at the back of a truck and ask them to throw down a bit of tarmac.
Okay, but presumably you're going to come in under budget, are you?
Yep, that's our plan. And actually, Matt, to put the budget in context, that's really good value in an Irish context, because that runway is $320 million. The last runway that was built in Europe was built in Manchester, and it was finished about 10 years ago, and that cost the equivalent of €400 million.
I suppose the reason I ask is, how much did the Terminal 2 cost when it was completed back, what was it, in 2010?
The construction cost of Terminal 2 was about €600 million.
Okay, I think the whole project cost near €900 million, didn't it?
No, that the way in which the regulator described that was an inaccurate description of it included a lot of things that actually weren't part of Terminal 2.
Okay, and is there going to be a Terminal 3?
We don't believe we require a Terminal 3 at the minute, Matt. What we need is aircraft parking stands, and we need boarding gates. And we have another investment plan, about a €900 million capacity plan, which is separate to North Runway. Again, we'll be funding that directly ourselves. And that plan will deliver new parking stands for aircraft and boarding gate areas. They're the things that we need at the airport. We don't need a new terminal at present. We believe we'd need a new terminal sometime around the time we get to about 40 million passengers a year.
Okay, and do you want a train link?
We've always said that we were keen to have a metro link to the city centre, and what we want in terms of that link, what we think makes sense, is a fast, high-capacity metro link to the airport. We've preserved a station and a location for that for about a decade. Originally, the people behind the original metro plan wanted to have the station at the Radisson Hotel, and we thought that was a very bad idea, and they eventually changed their mind, and we've preserved a location kind of equidistant between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2. And in a way, sometimes I think people misunderstand in part the rationale for having a high-speed train link to the city centre and out beyond. Yes, that will be something that will be used by passengers here, but also we have about 20,000 people who work at the airport. That's not just obviously just for DAA, it's for the hotels that are based here, the airlines, and all of the other facilities that are based here at Dublin Airport. So about 20,000 people are based here. Effectively, it's a decent-sized town, and obviously if we had that sort of a metro capacity, that would have a huge impact in terms of making it easier and more efficient for them to get to work every day.
Okay, thank you very much, Paula Kane from the DAA. Graham McQueen, you're Head of Communications at Dublin Chamber. At your annual dinner recently, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar made a promise in relation to a train line to Dublin Airport. What was it?
The promise was that he's going to see the project through, which is a very welcome development for Dublin. It's one we've been talking about for about 20 years now. It's 10 years until we build the thing. We ideally need it today. The city is ready for it. Every other big city that we're competing with for business has it. The people of Dublin deserve a development like this. And let's hope the Taoiseach follows through on his word and we see this project happen soon.
OK, how much would it cost us and what route would it take?
Well, the project, what they're talking about at the moment is somewhere around $3 billion. Those figures aren't final. There's going to be a new plan coming in the next couple of weeks, a new iteration of the plan. So we're looking forward to seeing what that looks like. But I think in terms of the benefits that this is going to bring, not just Dublin, but the rest of the country as well, this is going to link up the national rail network effectively with good stops at Tara Street, stops in Phibsborough as well. So it's a really exciting development for everyone in the country, really.
OK, Frank MacDonald, author and former environment editor of the Irish Times. You were tweeting a couple of weeks ago against the idea of a rail link to Dublin Airport. Why?
Well, because I think the airport is very well served by public transport already. I don't think it's absolutely essential for an airport to have a rail link to a city centre. The airport is served by about something like 700 buses per day, which is really quite remarkable. A very high level of service, I would have thought. And it's very
easy. Is it, given the, we just heard from Paul O'Kane, 20,000 employees in the area,
yes, but
given the passenger
numbers
each year, 30 million passengers?
Well, yes, but don't forget that a lot of them are actually driving to work and probably enjoy the benefits of free parking where they work at the airport. And they're driving from disparate areas. You know, it's not, they're not all living in Swords or nearby. I think that you have to look at it in context. We've spent $750 million on the Dublin Port Tunnel, which is grossly underutilised by public transport anyway. And that is one tunnel that already exists, a twin bore tunnel that already exists between the Docklands area and Dublin Airport and the Swords area in general. I believe that the Dublin Port Tunnel could be used much more as a route for public transport into the city centre, and that building another tunnel in parallel to it, just to run what are effectively going to be Lewis-style trams in the metro, the so-called metro project, that just doesn't make sense to me.
At about a cost of about €3 billion.
Well, I'm not sure whether that €3 billion includes the south side stretch of it, because don't forget that the idea or the concept was that you would provide a service, Metrolink would provide a service between the Swords area and the Sandyford area of South Dublin, and that what that would involve is effectively ripping up parts of the existing Lewis Green Line, which to me, again, strikes me as being a grotesque misapplication of planning. It's just not the right way to go about it. And also, I think that, you know, we have a...
Sorry, Frank, would you keep the existing Green Line as it is and perhaps use the money to have a new spur heading on from
exactly.
The town, maybe out towards the southwest?
There's a lot to be said for that. There really is. And it needs to be looked at seriously before we embark on something that is going to cause so much disruption during construction, which would be 2 years minimum. And during operation as well, because effectively the Lewis Green Line would be split into pieces by this. You'd have a metro running from Sandyford through the city centre with a tunnel from Ranelagh, out of Ranelagh into town and then beyond out to the area around Crossguns Bridge in Phibsborough and then onwards to Ballymun and the airport.
Okay. I want to go to Alan Farrell, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fingal, that area. A listener says, a train line to Dublin Airport, how much is that going to cost? Let the government make a balls of one project at a time, which I presume is a reference to the overrun at the National Children's Hospital.
It well might be. I think first and foremost, you know, the requirement for Metro to be delivered in Dublin is actually not just about Dublin Airport, although 30 million, 40 million, 50 million passengers per annum over the next 30 years will clearly necessitate the removal of vehicles from the road. And I don't think that our road network has the capacity to deal with that. Secondly, as part of the infrastructural planning for this, it was envisaged as the in the initial discussion about Metro North, as it was at the time about a decade ago, that Dublin would require 40 multi-storey car parks by 2030, which is only a few years from now, to cater for existing traffic, never mind any growth that might be factored into that. The big issue that we have to consider as part of this is that Metro is not just about serving Dublin Airport. It's also about serving one of the fastest growing, in fact, the fastest growing community in Europe, and that is Fingal. So, and yes, it is beneficial to my constituents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this is actually a piece of national critical infrastructure that's going to serve over a million people when it's finished. And that's something that has to be factored
into
this debate.
Is that an accurate claim, Graham McQueen?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we've saw continued growth in the Fingal area over a large period of time. I agree with a lot of what Alan is saying there. It's too often billed as a project Metrolink that's going to serve Dublin Airport and the city centre. That's a massive disservice to the project. This is potentially going to serve the whole North County Dublin area, the south of Dublin, with the city centre.
Yeah, but hold on. After all the money that was spent on the construction of the Green Line of the Lewis and then extending it over the Liffey, what sense does it make to rip it up for a couple of years and put down a metro line instead, when you could use that money to build something else?
As far as I'm aware, the capacity of the Green Line is nearing 100%. And what we actually need to do, given its success, is improve it and increase the maximum capacity that it's capable of handling. And that can only occur when it's a dedicated service, so it's not crossing traffic.
Okay. Trevor in Cork says, I just landed in Dublin Airport from Sweden. I'm driving home to Cork and I've pulled in to text you. The traffic around the airport was shocking, but it would be easier for me to fly from Cork or Shannon, only I couldn't get the flight at times that I needed. D. Ryan, you're Chief Executive of Limerick Chamber. What do your members make of this idea of the second runway in Dublin Airport, a train line that could cost £3 billion running to Dublin Airport, massive expansion numbers, while it seems as Shannon and Cork are sort of just trailing along in Dublin's wake?
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, this is a hugely important issue for us in the regions, and I'm representing the Midwest region here today, but I can speak on behalf of all of the regional airports and say that we're quite concerned and alarmed at what seems to be a blinkered investment into just Dublin Airport and this unbridled growth in Dublin.
But what's the alternative? Because it seems that's where the demand is. Maybe the reason why Trevor can't get flights from Cork or Shannon to Sweden is just the route isn't busy enough. The airlines want to serve the market as it exists from Dublin.
Well, what Trevor might not be aware and what most listeners may not be aware is of the way that the aviation industry works. Most airlines are incentivized to bring new routes into airports. And the airports and the government will do this to de-risk the investment that the airline is making into the airport. So there's a reason why Trevor had to fly out of Dublin Airport, and that's because at the start of that route into Dublin Airport, Dublin Airport or indeed Tourism Ireland would have put a proportion of their spend into the marketing of that route both within Sweden and here in Ireland.
Or perhaps discounted rates per passenger and charges. But doesn't Shannon and Cork offer discounted rates as well?
Well, each of the airports, because they're state-owned, have to wash their own face, essentially. And they have to use their own income to fund that marketing and their own income to fund the capital infrastructural investments in their airports. For example, Paul mentioned there that, and slightly disingenuously, I would say, I mean, I'll take issue with it. He said that £320 million isn't coming out of the state's pocket. I would disagree. The airport is owned by the state. Any profit made by the airport goes back to the state. So the £320 million that is being spent in Dublin Airport is coming from borrowings.
And do you see Dublin Airport out of having a monopoly position that it's able to enforce at the expense of Shannon and Cork?
Well, I think anyone with two eyes can see that Dublin Airport has a monopoly on aviation routes into the country. I mean,
is that not just down to the fact that it's better located and it's just a little function of supply and demand?
Let's look at that. Since 2013 and since Shannon Airport got its independence from the Dublin Airport Authority, it has grown its routes by 450,000 passengers. In the same period, Cork Airport has grown its routes by 20,000 passengers and Dublin Airport has grown its routes by 12.5 million passengers. That doesn't happen by accident.
Let me
That's
go back
new
to Paul O'Kane. He's still with us. You're a monopolist, so there, Paul, exploiting your market power at the expense of Cork and Shannon.
Thanks for the opportunity to address that, Matt. There's a couple of points that really should be made here. Firstly, as you mentioned, this is the market. Airlines go where there's money to be made. It's based on catchment. And if you look at the market in the last couple of years, actually Cork Airport, is traffic there is up 16%. In the past 3 years, they're expecting 7% growth this year. Shannon Airport actually said that this was their best year ever, their best year in a decade, rather. They said they had a really positive year and they had a vibrant future on the back of 6 years of continuous growth. Knock Airport said that they had their best years ever. And if you look at the last couple of years, there are some very significant reasons why traffic at Dublin is growing in the way it is. Firstly, Dublin now has 2.1 million hub passengers, so those are passengers who are not using Dublin to begin or end their journey. That's a market that didn't exist in 2011, and that's accounted for about a quarter of all Dublin Airport's growth since then. Those are passengers that if they didn't use Dublin, they wouldn't use any other airport on the island. We're competing with other airports in continental Europe for that business. Dublin Airport also has about 2 million passengers a year who use Dublin Airport to travel to and from Northern Ireland. Again, that's 2 million passengers who, if they weren't using Dublin Airport, they wouldn't be using any other airports in the Republic of Ireland. Transatlantic traffic in Dublin has doubled in recent years, and part of that is the impact of the end of the Shannon stopover. That only fully unwound back in 2008, and obviously then we had the downturn. So you only really saw the impact of the end of the Shannon stopover in recent years. And one of the other big issues, Matt, and funny, it relates to the text from your listener earlier in terms of driving, the road network has changed dramatically in recent years. It's now much easier for someone who arrives at Dublin to get to Shannon, to get to Limerick, to get to Belfast, to get to Donegal. And the idea somehow that passengers arrive at Dublin and we put a fence up around the M50 and say, beyond this you won't go, is just not the case.
Well, indeed, a listener says, Patrick's Quay in Cork has become a de facto second terminal for Dublin. Any time day or night, there are people waiting to get the buses to Dublin Airport. The demand is there. Dee Ryan from Limerick Chamber, do you want to respond to what you've heard from Paul O'Kane there?
Absolutely, and I'd like to, you know, just join you there, Paul, in saying that the airlines follow the money. They most certainly do, and that's why we should be incentivizing more of the airlines to bring new strategic routes into our regional airports instead of concentrating that growth, like 96% of it has been in the last number of years, on Dublin Airport. There's plenty of room in this for all of us. This is not about the rest of the country versus Dublin. This is about regional growth, not just regional airports, regional growths. We know that strategic routes bring a wide impact on local economies and bring jobs, and that's what this is about.
Alan Farrell.
Sorry, Matt, if I could just come in there for what...
Briefly, because I have other guests I need to get in, Paul.
Dee seems to be suggesting incorrectly that somehow we're able to offer better incentives than Cork and Shannon. That's simply not the case. Cork's incentive, I know for a fact, because they're part of our group, are the same as ours. Shannon's business is subsidised by its property and they can offer very good incentives, I'm sure, to any airline.
That's not correct, Shannon Group. When Shannon Group was given its independence in 2013, it was actually prohibited from funding the airport activities by the rest of the activities within the group, so that's not actually
okay. Alan Farrell, sorry Paul, I have other guests I have to get in. Alan Farrell, please.
Well, just one of the things to add to regional support packages that are out there is the 2015 to 2019 capital programme, which is putting in over 20 million euros. And in fact, with the addition of some supports to Knock in terms of a runway extension, I think it's 29 million. And in Ireland, Project Ireland 2040, there's 72 million planned between last year and 2027. Now, we also cannot forget about the PSO, the public service obligation supports for airlines connecting our regional airports, particularly Kerry and Donegal, which are really, really important for those particular regions to grow. But if you base the amount of money that's been invested by government in both current and in capital expenditure, and you pitch it against the number of passengers that are being served, and then bring into that equation the 320 million for the 30 million passengers at Dublin Airport, the regions are actually getting pound for pound more money invested based on the numbers of passengers at each
listener
airport.
Listener says Cork could further expand if we were given the money to just extend the runway. We also have an empty terminal waiting to be used. Well, there is a story about the cost of the replacement terminal. Frank MacDonald, how much sympathy would you have with Cork, Shannon and Ireland West, Knock in particular, thinking that there's too much of a concentration on resources in Dublin?
Well, I think that the
reason why there's so much concentration in Dublin is because of the concentration of economic activity in and around the Dublin area. That is part of the problem, that we have a grossly imbalanced country where Dublin has been allowed to grow like King Kong and at the expense of everywhere else. And I have enormous sympathy for people in the regions because Dublin is now grossly congested as a result of its own untrammeled growth. And just to put it in context, Dublin Airport now caters for something like 85% of total air travel in and out of Ireland, and that leaves really peanuts for the regional airports, particularly Shannon and Cork. So I would like to see some of it rebalanced, because it just doesn't make sense at the moment to concentrate everything in Dublin. That just reinforces the dominance of Dublin over the rest of the country.
Oh, listen, it's amazing. Yet again, another report where Waterford is not even mentioned. Shocking, the forgotten county. But you have a fantastic road all the way up to Dublin, don't you? Another one, it's a joke. It's like Dublin is another country. We're in the tourism industry. The amount of people we drive every year wishing they hadn't had to fly into Dublin when all the sightseeing they do is in the west. Promote the Wild Atlantic Way. And I'll just take one more before I go back to you, D. Ryan, Chief Executive of Limerick Chamber. That says, I live 30 minutes from Shannon Airport. The last three times I left the country, I had to fly from Dublin. Shannon has very few options unless you want to fly to London or the USA. Dublin is doing well because people like me have no option other than to drive 3 hours to get to an airport, says Will in Limerick.
Yeah, Matt, absolutely. We would contend that there's great capacity for increased growth in passenger numbers through all of the regional airports, including Waterford. And might I just point out that in Germany, for example, they have their largest international airport in Frankfurt, the fifth city, their equivalent of Waterford. So there's no reason why we have to have all of our airline and all of our air activity concentrated out of the capital.
Okay, but in fairness, Waterford isn't the home to the European Central Bank and various things like that. We're talking about a different scale, you know?
I know, but these things don't happen by accident. You have to plan for that kind of scale to happen. What we're really calling for in the Midwest is for delivery on the promises of the Ireland 2040 plan, which is for balanced regional growth. We know that international connectivity, and for us on an island, that's airports, is key. It's a key growth enabler for the region. So that's what we're looking for supports for. The government would take the perspective that investing in capital expenditure at any of the state-owned airports is potentially state aid. However, there is EU regulations that allow for state assistance for airports where passenger numbers are under 3 million. And so that money that's been invested in Knock Airport that was spoken about by Alan there earlier on, that same investment can't be put currently by the government, or wouldn't be put currently by the government into Shannon Airport, because they would take the view that as Shannon is a state-owned airport, that wouldn't be allowed.
Okay, Alan of Cork says, my colleagues and I in the pharma and medical devices businesses in Cork frequently have to fly to Dublin to fly to both European and North American flights. It's a nightmare. Can add a day either end to our trips. The roadworks at Naas, the M50, the flight times all add to the time and cost of our travel. Develop Cork and Shannon and decongest Dublin. I have friends who have a very similar experience to that as well. I just want to go back to something we started off with, Graham McQueen, because there are people complaining that they don't like the idea that we're suggesting that the Green Line of the Lewis will be ripped up. But it will be replaced in large chunks, won't it?
I think it's very easy to use language like ripped up and stuff when you're talking about the Green Line. But the fact is, we don't really know the details of what that's going to involve at the moment. The Green Line, as Alan said earlier on, is at capacity at the moment. The long-term plan has always been to upgrade the Green Line to Metro standard. That's effectively what's happening
here. What does that mean?
Here.
Because there are a lot of people saying we should go for a sort of a DART underground. As an alternative.
DART Underground is a separate project. It's not a competing project with the Metrolink project. DART Underground would run east to west across the city. We'd love to see that one happen. It's another one that Dublin really needs. It would link up the national rail network again. That one's been delayed, unfortunately. It looks like till after 2030. And for the moment, Metrolink is the plan that we have the best chance of delivering in the coming years. Yes, it's going to potentially take a bit of pain on the Green Line, but that Green Line is at capacity already. The change needs to happen. We want to see that managed in the right way. We're working with the NTE on that. Our own submission has said we need more clarity around what's going to happen with the Green Line, but fundamentally that plan needs to happen if the people on the south side of Dublin are going to be able to get around.
Okay, but Frank McDonald, this is the time. It might cost 3 billion, 6 billion, 10 billion, all of these plans that for transport in Dublin, but would there be a payoff for it? Would it be an environmentally right thing to do if it got people into public transport out of their cars?
Well, I suppose it would. I suppose it would for that reason alone. But I still think that the most important strategic investment in transport in Dublin would be DART Underground. That would link Houston Station with the Docklands via Christchurch, St Stephen's Green, Pierce Station and Western Row. And, you know, it beats me that the government decided to pigeonhole that project in favour of proceeding with this half-baked Metrolink scheme, because the great value of the of DART Underground is that it would link together all of the existing DART and suburban rail commuter services and turn them into a network. In other words, you'd be able to travel from all sorts of places to all sorts of other places without by just changing trains in the city centre. And that is something that should have been done. Another thing that should have been considered, and I don't think it was considered properly at all, is the idea that I've always thought made an awful lot of sense, and that would have been to divert the Dublin-Belfast main line.
I was just about
Dublin
to get
Airport.
That. A lot of people are saying from Clongriffin you could do a spur, which would be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, but of course it would be a lot cheaper, but it's not an either-or situation. This the idea that I had was that the Dublin-Belfast main line could be diverted through the airport into the city centre, and that would free up the existing DART and suburban commuter line on the northern side of the city running all the way to Dundalk.
That would make sense, Alan Farrell, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just to touch upon Metro Underground, really meritorious project, should happen, will happen, I would imagine. But interlinking our existing rail network is actually not going to serve any new passengers. Dublin is growing at a rapid rate, and in order to facilitate growth, not just on the north side, but to remove cars from the road, we have to build metro. In relation to the Green Line, you know, if the Green Line is pitched right by Transport Infrastructure Ireland, if metro is delivered with the right capacity, with the right frequency of between 10 and 15,000 passengers per direction per hour, we're going to take tens of thousands of cars off our roads. And as the city grows, that would be very, very beneficial, not just to in terms of commuting times or people getting to and from their places where they want to be, their places of work, school, and et cetera, et cetera. It also improves quality of life quite immeasurably because you're no longer stuck behind the wheel of a car. But one of the really, really important points of all of this in relation to connecting the Northern Line to the airport is you're building it over Greenbelt. You are not serving any existing communities. The purpose of interlinking metro into the Lewis system, into the DART system, etc., etc., is to improve connectivity for communities that are already there.
Okay.
If you build a line off the Northern Commuter Line, you're running it through Greenbelt, and with our strategies in relation to multimodal transport, you're going to end up with zoned land eating up the capacity of that particular line, causing huge delays at Connolly, where there's a pinch point where you simply cannot push any more traffic
All
through
right.
and ending up in further gridlock.
Frank, a listener having a go at what you said earlier. Adequate bus services? Is he having a laugh? The first airport bus from Ballinteer in the south of Dublin leaves at 6 a.m, which means you can get there in time for your 9 a.m. flight, nothing earlier. Another quote, this is something for somebody else. What do you say to that? For all the talk of buses, we don't have enough buses, Frank.
Yeah, well, I think that the airport is well served by public transport. There's no question about that. Some people might have individual problems if they want to get to the airport for 6 o'clock, or whatever. But you know,
but so that's what the whole new runway
yeah,
but, is far as for
well,
the
right,
busiest
but,
time
well,
in the airport
well,
is 6 o'clock
well,
to 7 o'clock.
Then provide earlier buses. You know, that's not an insurmountable problem, and it certainly could be done for a hell of a lot less cost than the billions that are proposed to be spent on this plan. And as for Alan's idea that you know, DART Underground wouldn't add any passengers to suburban rail and DART services, I mean, that's completely nonsense. If it turns them into a network, then obviously it's going to boost passenger demand. There's no question about that.
But it's
that.
Still not serving any new communities.
Graeme McQueen.
Yeah, look, I think what I'm hearing here from Frank is very sort of short-term solutions. What we've done over the last few years of sweating the existing assets that we've got, the bus network, it lacks huge ambition. This is Dublin, a city that's competing with other cities on the global stage every day of the week for jobs and investment. Our ambition has got to be bigger. This is a project, Metrolink, that will benefit the city for 100 to 150 years.
And I'm going to finish with you, D. Ryan, of Limerick Chamber of Commerce, because hasn't effectively Graeme put his finger on the number? of it. It's international competition now. It's not between states, it's between big cities. Dublin's our only sort of competitor to the mega cities in America and Europe, and that's where the investment is
going
to go.
And if you want your house prices to keep going up in Dublin, and if you want your traffic queues to get longer, keep doing that. Keep investing in Dublin Airport and forget about the regions, because if you want balanced regional economic growth, you need to invest in outside of Dublin.
Absolutely, Dee, you're right.
Frank McDonald got the last word there instead of Dee Ryan from Limerick Chamber. Thank you very much, Alan Farrell of Fine Gael, Paul O'Kane from the DAA, and Graham McQueen from Dublin Chamber as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.